Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight. I hope you find our call informative and useful. I'm Neil Kelly, Ontario Power Generation's Director of Media Relations. I will act as the host for tonight's call. We are going to try and not take up too much of your time, and we'll aim to finish by about 7 p.m. this evening. This is the call for the Ottawa River to discuss OPG's operations. And at 7:30 this evening, OPG is hosting a similar call for residents along the Madawaska River system. If you do reside in the Madawaska River Basin, please call the same number at 7:30 p.m. to participate. While some of the upfront information may be the same on both calls, we felt it was valuable to separate the river system so we can hear from as many folks as possible, because we do want to finish up in about an hour and be respectful of your time. Before we get started, let me explain how a telephone town hall works. Right now, residents from across the Ottawa River Basin are answering their phones and connecting to this discussion. In a way, this is like a traditional town hall where guests arrive and file in through the front door, except in place of a front door, there are thousands of phones ringing throughout eastern Ontario. Once someone answers their phone, they just stay on the line to join the discussion. For those who missed the call, an answering machine message will be left with directions on how to call into the discussion. This telephone town hall technology enables us to reach out and talk with thousands of people from the comfort of their homes. It is a great way for us to stay connected with residents and ensure that you get the latest updates about Ontario Power Generation's hydroelectric operations on the Ottawa River. For those of you just joining the call, welcome. This is a telephone town hall with Ontario Power Generation. Now, some of our employees are practicing social and physical distancing and are calling in remotely. We apologize for any technical issues we may run into. Tonight, we are joined by Sean Hines, Director of Southeast Plant Operations in OPG's East Region. Sean and his team work out of Ontario Power Generation's offices in Renfrew, supporting operations on the Ottawa, Madawaska, and St. Lawrence River systems. Also speaking on the line tonight is Halya Petzold, Technical Officer, Water Management in Ontario Power Generation's Southeast Region. This telephone town hall is live and interactive, which means that you can ask Sean or Halya your questions. If you have a question for Sean or Halya, just press star 3 on your phone at any time to let us know you'd like to speak live on the call. An operator will take down your question and put you in line to ask your question live. You will still be able to hear the town hall conversation while you are waiting to ask your question, and when I call your name, you will be able to ask your question live on the air. I see we still have some more phones to call, so as we wait for everyone to join, I'd like to acknowledge the unprecedented times that we are all working and living through with the COVID-19 pandemic. OPG produces more than half of the power that you use every day in this province. We power your hospitals, businesses, and of course your homes. We do that by safely operating 10 of the province's nuclear units, 66 hydroelectric stations across 24 river systems, and we have biomass, gas, oil, and some solar. Like many of you, some OPG employees continue to work remotely from home when possible, and our essential staff are in the stations working to keep the lights on. We can assure you that the safety of the public and our staff continues to be OPG's top priority, even during these uncertain times. Now, this evening's agenda is fairly straightforward. Sean Hines is going to provide a brief overview about OPG and then talk about our operations on the Ottawa River. Tonight, you'll have a chance to ask questions. If you don't get to your questions or don't know the answer, we will be sure to get back to you sometime in the next couple of days. As I mentioned, I'd like to now introduce Sean Hines, who is OPG's Director of Southeast Plant Operations, East Region. Now, just quickly, I will remind you that if you want to ask a question at any time during the call, you can press star 3 on your phone at any time to let us know you'd like to speak live on the call. An operator will take down your question and put you in line to ask your question live. Welcome, Sean.
Okay, great. Thanks, Neil. And good evening, everyone. Thank you for taking the time to join us this during this telephone town hall about our operations on the Ottawa River. First, let me talk about what is likely on most people's minds during these difficult times we find ourselves in all across the globe, and of course here in Ontario, that being the COVID-19 pandemic. OPG plays a vital role in well-being of Ontario by generating over half its electricity. This includes power to hospitals, care facilities, clinics, and communities all across the province. Over the past year, more than ever, the people of Ontario are counting on our service. This is why ensuring the well-being of our staff who do this critical work continues to be of paramount importance. The health and safety of our employees and the public remains our top priority. Within OPG's Southeast operations, our continuity plans remain in place as we continue to safely operate our facilities throughout this pandemic. We are confident that our culture of safety, preparedness, and planning, along with our experience, has positioned us well to manage through this unprecedented event. Let me also point out that we have not overlooked the fact that we are once again entering into our spring freshet period. Now, with that said, Neil, let me now turn my attention to the topic of this town hall this evening. Most people are quite interested to hear about OPG's operations along the Ottawa River. I would like to take a few moments to touch on three areas before we take questions this evening. An outline of OPG's Southeast operations, the Ottawa River Basin, and the general annual water management cycle. First, to our operations. The Southeast operations consists of 10 generating stations and 3 control dams along the St. Lawrence, the Ottawa, and the Madawaska rivers. The facilities are operated from our Southeast Control Center located at our R.H. Saunders Generating Station in Cornwall, Ontario. The total Southeast operations installed capacity is roughly 2,600 megawatts, with an annual energy production of 13,000 gigawatt hours. Now, this represents 10% of the annual provincial energy demand. We have over 300 skilled and dedicated staff all across the Southeast operations, and we are proud members of the communities in which we operate. The 4 stations the folks on the line might be most interested in this evening are our Ottawa River stations. The first most northerly station is our Otto Holden station, which is up near Mattawa. And just downstream from there is our Deswisha generating station, which is near Rolfton. And then further downstream, our Chenault GS station in the Whitewater region. And finally, our Shaw Falls generating station near Fitzroy Harbour. Now, secondly, I'd like to touch on the Ottawa River Basin itself. Now, there's much more to the Ottawa River than what we see in the Ottawa Valley. In fact, the Ottawa River Basin is quite huge. It's 146,000 square kilometers, which is slightly larger than England. In the northern part of the Ottawa River Basin, there are 11 large reservoirs. These reservoirs are man-made lakes impounded by a dam where water can be stored. Like natural lakes, these reservoirs can be used to store water for longer periods of time, up to several months. The largest reservoirs are actually located in Quebec. Along what is often called the main stem of the Ottawa River, the stretch of river that you're familiar with along the boundary between Ontario and Quebec, there are 6 major generating stations. And as I mentioned earlier, Neil, the OPG operates 4 of these stations. The Ottawa River generating stations are designed to pass water day to day rather than store water for weeks or months, what you might find with a reservoir dam. These stations look very big, they need to be thought of relative to the volume of water flowing in the Ottawa River, which is quite significant, particularly in the springtime. Under normal spring conditions, the small amount of storage available at OPG's Ottawa River stations can be filled in just hours and can only provide momentary reductions in downstream flow rates. Unfortunately, serious flood conditions like those experienced in 2019 persist for days or weeks, meaning that the limited amount of storage at OPG's Ottawa River dams is not enough to lessen downstream flow rates and result in water levels in a noticeable way during flooding. For example, at our Deswisha station, under the 2019 peak flow conditions, Had we reduced station outflow, we would have filled that storage at the Swisha GS head pond in just 16 hours. Once the head pond is full after 16 hours, the outflow would need to be reestablished to once again match station inflows, otherwise that dam would have been overtopped. Because all but one of the reservoirs with a useful amount of storage in the Ottawa Basin are located upstream of Temiskaming, the 800-kilometer length of the Ottawa River between the Temiskaming Dam and Montreal is operated as a run-of-river system in the spring, with all dams passing water as it arrives from upstream. Water arriving from upstream is not solely coming down the main stem of the Ottawa River, mind you, but also the many other tributaries and streams that flow into the Ottawa River contribute to that flow, like the Mattawa, the Petawawa, and the Madawaska River. Think of this like a snowball that gets larger as it rolls along. In other words, whatever water is coming down the river keeps collecting and moving as there is no way to stop the flows. Lastly, I would like to outline the annual water management cycle. This is where most northern reservoirs I mentioned earlier play that vital role. In the winter, those reservoirs are emptied and they wait to be filled with water from the snowmelt and spring rains. Sometimes the emptying of these reservoirs is noticeable along the main stem of the Ottawa River as it contributes to the higher river flow as the water released from the reservoirs travels downstream. Now this is a good thing, as this is the water as it's leaving the basin before that spring melt and rains. In winter and through spring freshets, snow surveys are conducted and runoff forecasting takes place. A coordinated approach is employed amongst OPG, Hydro-Quebec, Public Services and Procurement Canada, and of course the Ottawa River Regulation Committee. And this coordination is all in place to ensure flooding across the region is lessened or even prevented when possible. In the spring, the reservoirs, which are now emptied, are used to capture as much rain and snowmelt as possible. This reduces the volume of water flows downstream to the main stem of the Ottawa River. Every year, the peak flow of the Ottawa River is lower than it would be under normal conditions without use of reservoirs. Unfortunately, even very large reservoirs have a limit to the amount of water that they can store. In certain years, the volume of water from rain and snowmelt will be larger than the available storage. This results in spring flooding. Keep in mind, these reservoirs are almost all located in the northern part of the basin. There is nowhere to store rain that falls in the southern part of the basin. In the summer, reservoirs slowly let some of that water out. This helps manage summer minimum water level and flow requirements, assisting in drought mitigation. It also helps with recreational needs along the river. This is a typical annual cycle, but it depends greatly on weather. As we all know, weather can be unpredictable. This is particularly the case in spring. A temperature difference of a few degrees can be the difference between snowstorm and a rainstorm. Now, rainfall and snowmelt change in volume and intensity from year to year. Both can only be reliably forecast only a few days in advance. Normally, the southern portion of the Ottawa River Basin warms first, melting the snow and moving this water out of the basin. The northern portion of the basin normally warms up later in the spring, melting that snow in this area at a later date. This is why we typically see two flow peaks on the main stem of the Ottawa River. The first snow melt in the south and the second from the snow melt in the north. In some cases, the northern and southern portions warm up around the same time. This results in water from snow melt entering the river at the same time across the basin, which can cause high river flows and contribute to flooding. As all that water is leaving the basin at once, this creates a problem at times. Meanwhile, spring rain events add more water to the system to compound the impacts. While spring weather varies from year to year, one standard operation at dams is headwater elevation control. Now, all dam owners are responsible to ensure that their operations, and in particular, the headwater operation, does not contribute to upstream flooding along the river. However, we can dive into that later, deeper into this, into the call in response to some of the questions, I hope. Before I turn back it over to Neil, I'd like to provide some information about online access for you to visit and find out more about OPG and our operations. For regular level and flow information about our operations on the Ottawa River, please visit www.opg.com/river. This information is updated every business day. And to learn more about how we work with nature, please visit www.opg.com/water. Now, with that said, Neil, I'll turn it back over to you.
Okay, thank you, Sean. Lots of good information there. And welcome to everyone who've just joined us on the phone. If you are just joining us tonight, we're here with Ontario Power Generation Sean Hines, Director, Southeast Plant Operations, East Region, and Halya Petzold, Technical Officer, Water Management, Southeast Operations, for our telephone town hall to provide you with an update about Ontario Power Generation's hydroelectric operations on the Ottawa River. This telephone town hall is live and interactive, which means that you can ask your questions during the call. If you have a question for Sean or Halya, just press *3 on your phone at any time to let us know you'd like to speak live on the call. An operator will take down your question and put you in line to ask your question live. You will still be able to hear the town hall conversation while you are waiting to ask your question. And when I call your name, you will be able to ask your question live on air. Okay, so this is exciting. We have many residents throughout Eastern Ontario already in the town hall, and there are still a number of callers getting connected, so we will be answering your questions live in just a couple of minutes. Before we get to the first question of the night from the callers, let me welcome Halya Petzold, Technical Officer, Water Management. Halya, please tell us a bit about the conditions we are currently seeing throughout the Ottawa River Basin.
Thanks, Neil, and good evening, everyone. Right now, Ottawa River flows and water levels are normal for late March. On March 15th, the snow conditions were generally much lower than normal across the basin, with the exception of the Algonquin Park area, where snow conditions were at about normal. Reservoirs across the basin were emptied over the past few months and are now ready to store part of the spring runoff. This year, temperatures warmed a lot earlier than usual, but we are still just at the very beginning of the spring season, and the peak spring flow of the Ottawa River is still ahead of us. Peak spring river flow is a result of several factors. The three most important factors are the amount of water stored in the snow, the rate at which the snow melts, and the amount of spring rainfall. The only one of these three factors that we know with certainty right now is the amount of water stored in the snow. And currently, as I said, we have less snow water content than normal across the basin. Typically, at this time of year, we wouldn't know yet how that second factor is doing, that is the rate of snow melt. But because spring came early this year, much of the snow has already melted, and so far it's been a gradual melt. The third factor, rainfall, remains an unknown. Because rainfall forecasts aren't perfect, we can't know how much rain we will get between now and the end of the spring season. So overall, the amount of snow water content and the rate of melt indicates that the spring freshet in the Ottawa Basin will not be large this year. However, higher than normal rainfall was a factor in the floods of 2017 and 2019. So this remains an unknown right now, and it's not possible to completely rule out the possibility of a large spring freshet. We will continue monitoring snow conditions, weather forecasts, and modeling results as spring progresses. And just like we do every year, OPG will be coordinating its Ottawa River operations with the Ottawa River Regulation Committee. As Neil mentioned, if you'd like to either ask either Sean or myself a question, just press *3 on your phone to get in the question line. An operator will take down your question and put you in line to ask your question live. That's it for my update. Back to you, Neil.
Thanks, Halya. Welcome to all those who have just joined us. My name is Neil Kelly, and I'm joined tonight by Ontario Power Generation Sean Hines, Director of Southeast Plant Operations, and Halya Petzold, Technical Officer, Water Management in OPG Southeast Region. If you would prefer not to ask your question live on air, you will have a chance to leave Ontario Power Generation a message at the end of this event. Looks like we have a number of questions from our callers. Let's go to those now. Please remember, if you would like to ask a question, just press *3 on your phone. An operator will take down your question and put you in line to ask your question live. If you would rather just leave a message or a comment, there will be an opportunity for you to do that at the end of our town hall. Okay, like I said, we're going to try to get to as many of your questions as quickly as we can. So we're going to start with Peter. Peter from Laurentian Valley. Peter, you're live on the air. Please ask your question.
Hi there. Thank you. I'm curious about the role of the Cabanga Reservoir. I understand that it drains both into the Gatineau River and into the Ottawa River system, and understand that in 2019, I may be wrong about this, water was let out into the Ottawa River system, which isn't normal in spring. So I'm just curious about what happens with the management of the Cabanga Reservoir, how the water flows out of that reservoir, and how that affects the Ottawa River in particular.
Thank you very much, Peter, for the question. Let me throw it over to Halya.
Hi, Peter. So, yes, the Cabanga diversion diverts water from the Dozois Reservoir down either the Ottawa River or the Gatineau Rivers. And so how this reservoir and diversion are typically operated is that in winter, when the Dozois Reservoir is being drawn down for the season, water is diverted down the Ottawa River rather than the Gatineau. And I should mention this is a Hydro-Quebec facility, but we coordinate our operations with them through the Ottawa River Regulation Committee. So in the winter, the Cabanga Reservoir does add water to the Ottawa River. For example, this year it opened December 7th and it's now closed. It closed March 1st. It's not a huge amount of water. It's normally about 85 cubic meters per second. And for context, right now, the flow at Otto Holden Generating Station, our northernmost generating station in the Ottawa River, is 600 cubic meters per second. So this is closed before spring, and so it's not adding water down the main stem of the Ottawa River in the springtime. That is, unless the Dozois Reservoir does fill. So it will be... In the spring, it's actually normally lowering the amount of water coming down the Ottawa because it's storing spring runoff until it is full. So that's how that reservoir is normally operated. In 2017, the water was diverted down the Gatineau River instead, and that was in response to flood mitigation for that particular year. But that's an unusual operation and not how it's typically operated.
Okay, thanks very much, Halya, and thanks very much for the question, Peter. Let's go to another question. We have Ottawa City Councillor Eli L. Shantieri on the line. Mr. Shantieri, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kelly, and thank you for your presentation. My question is, we learned through the two floods, 2017-2019, over 60% of the water between Swisha and the city of Ottawa, or basically to Creon, to Quebec, the majority of those rivers have no control. So based on the amount of rain and precipitation we have, 60% of that water comes to the Ottawa River, has no control or no reservoir or no dam whatsoever. Is there any discussion with the provincial government to create capacity for those rivers, and we'll give you an example. You get the Rideau River go to Ottawa, the Carp River, the Bonnechere, and the list goes on all the way up to Swisha. Those are 60% of the watershed comes to the Ottawa River from those river on it. So is there any discussion to create capacity or flood capacity for those rivers?
Yeah, thank you for the question, Councillor. I'm going to throw that over to Sean Hines.
Hi, Councillor Chantilly. Just on that note, you're absolutely correct. A large portion of the Ottawa River Basin is uncontrolled, and of course that's the southern portion. A lot of the tributaries, the natural tributaries like the Petawawa River and various other tributaries flow quite freely into the Ottawa River. Throughout 2019, all the reviews around the watershed and the Ottawa River Basin, a lot of storage options were explored. And as you know, and I think many would be familiar with, a lot of reservoirs are basically lakes that were dammed and you know, created storage with the damming of existing lakes and contours around the landscape. And that was done several years back in the 30s and the 20s through to the 50s. And in doing so, you flood a significant portion of land. And as you know, along the Ottawa River and pretty much the tributaries up through the lower portion, there's significant development that's taken place with homes and whatnot along the river system. So again, a lot of the creation of reservoirs back in the 20s, the 30s through to the 50s was in a period where there really wasn't a lot of development along waterways and lakes. To answer your question directly, the discussions with the province really didn't take place in the sense that there really was not a whole lot to discuss, because a lot of the potential for reservoir creation has already been exhausted throughout the Ottawa River Basin. So hopefully that answers your question, Eli, and thank you for that.
Okay, thanks very much, Sean, and thanks for calling in, Councillor. Before I get to our next question, just a reminder, if you have a question for Sean or Helya Petzold, just press star 3 on your phone at any time to let us know that you'd like to speak live on the call. An operator will take down your question and put you in line to ask your question live. And again, if you don't want everybody to hear your comments, you'll have a chance to leave a message at the end of the event. We're going to go to another caller. This one, Christine in Mattawa. Christine, please ask your question.
Hi, I was just wondering what precautions have been taken in order the flooding doesn't occur here again.
Okay, thanks very much for your question, Christine. I'm going to throw it over to Sean.
Well, thanks, Christine. As you know, following the 2019 flood, the province appointed a special flood advisor, Mr. McNeil. And through the work Mr. McNeil did throughout the Ottawa River Basin and across the province for that matter, we looked at a lot of things that we could do to improve. In fact, Mr. McNeil issued a number of recommendations, many of which was related to communications with communities and people in the public around our operations and the like. But some of those recommendations also talked about, some better water gauging and forecasting capabilities and whatnot. Within our operations, we are a learning organization, and we frequently review our operating guides and our operating practices and water management practices. And we have done so since 2019. In order to prevent flooding, unfortunately, the 2019 flood, with the flows that we experienced in 2019, there was very little or nothing that a dam operator or the reservoir operators up in the Hydro-Quebec area, there was no intervention that could have been performed during the 2019 flood to lessen any of the flood impacts at the time. Now, I do know after the 2019 flood, there's some work has been done with conservation authorities and some municipalities to increase flood resiliency for landowners and to minimize impacts of that flooding. But the unfortunate fact is that when you get high river flows that we saw in 2019, that does result in flooding in various portions of the Ottawa River, where we see restrictions and various natural restrictions throughout the river. Thank you. Thank you for that question.
Okay. Thanks very much for that question and that answer, Sean. So I want to go to Rob in Renfrew County. Rob, you're live on the air. Please ask your question.
Yeah. Hi, it's Rob here. I just wanted to make sure that, and I can see by the comments that OPG is coordinating with local communities in regards to floodwater management. And just wanted to confirm that that's going to be an ongoing commitment.
Okay, thanks very much for your question, Rob. Sean?
Yeah, thanks, Rob. OPG, we have and we continue to work with stakeholders and community partners as well as organizations like the Ottawa River Planning Board and conservation authorities and the MNRF and various other organizations to help in any way that we can. Our primary goal, of course, is to make sure that our generating stations and our operations do not negatively impact the public and the you know the lands and the you know various stakeholders across the river systems of which we're privileged to operate on. So yes, OPG will have participated and contributed to organizations and committees and various entities to do anything we can to help in those communities, of course, in which we operate. Thank you for that.
Okay, thanks very much, Sean. That was a very good question. Please remember, if you want to ask a question to Sean Hines or Halya Petzl, just press *3 on your phone at any time to let us know you'd like to speak live on the air. And I think right now we're going to go to Phil. Phil's in Whitewater. Phil, you've got a question. Please ask your question.
Thank you very much for taking the question, and thank you for the presentation. Bottom line is, at the end of the day, we want to know if we're going to get flooded again. On April the 26th, 2019, we watched with horror as the water level rose, which peaked on May the 12th, and our lives down here were totally disrupted and totally in panic. So I heard your earlier presenter mention that you cannot forecast this, but surely you can do a better job than you're doing currently in terms of your website, where it's so dry and difficult to read and not very understandable. Why can you not take a page out of the Weather Network and show us what's going to be happening in our region in the next 5 days with some graphics and with some simple-to-understand statistics? I've read through the Doug McNeil report, and I don't believe that you have done very many of those recommendations, but the bottom line still remains, how are we going to find out whether or not we are going to be flooded out in 2021?
Okay, thanks very much for the question, Peter. We'll attempt to get an answer for you. Halya, do you want to start?
Sure. What I can say to Peter is the best place to look for forecasts is the Ottawa River Regulation Planning Board website. So if he goes to ottawariver.ca/forecasts, in the next few days they're going to be activating their forecasting website, and it does have all of the things you ask for. There are graphics that show the trends of the water levels and flows as expected by the forecasts, which unfortunately are not perfect. But the planning board does what it can with the information in the forecast that we have, the weather forecast that is.
Okay, thanks very much, Halya. That was a good question, Phil. I appreciate you asking that question this evening. Again, if you have a question for Sean or Halya, just press *3 on your phone at any time to let us know you'd like to speak live on the call. An operator will take down your question and put you in line to ask your question live. If you don't want everyone to hear your comments, you'll have a chance to leave a message at the end of the event. Okay, so I think we've got Audrey on the line. Audrey's in Petawawa. Audrey, do you want to ask your question?
Yes, I have a couple of questions, but I'll start with I was wondering if you're talking about building a dam along the Petawawa River, and if so, where would the location be?
Okay, sure. Okay, Audrey, thanks. You had a second question you said as well? Oh, maybe you're gone, sorry. Okay, I'll throw it over to Sean Hines then.
Okay, thanks for that question, Audrey. OPG is not planning at this time and from foreseeable future to build a dam on the Petawawa River. I'm unaware of any other company planning to build a dam on the Petawawa River. If you're referring to dam construction along the Petawawa River, as you know, The Petawawa River is one of those rivers. It's a natural, unrestricted river. Generally, with power station construction in today's era, they would be built as run-of-the-river stations. And, of course, run-of-the-river stations are such that you don't tend to flood a large portion of upstream portions of the river. Because in today's environment, with the amount of development along waterways, and particularly the southernmost part of the province, where these waterways have significant development, it really is very difficult, if not impossible, to build large dams and flood upstream of these dams, and particularly to build reservoirs or even to build a peaking and ponding generating station. So generally, a river like the Petawawa River in 2021 and beyond, I really don't envision any significant dam construction that would result in any storage creation or even a generating station with large peaking and ponding capabilities. Hopefully that answers your question, Audrey. Thanks for that.
Okay, thanks very much, Sean. And Audrey, thanks very much for your question. We had a technical glitch there, and you were cut off, unfortunately. I know you had a second question. Audrey, what I would suggest is at the end of the telephone town hall this evening, you have a chance there to leave a message at the end of the event, and we will answer that question and get back to you. Okay, let's take another call. We've got Wayne Keel on the line. Wayne, please go ahead. You're live on the air.
Yes, this is Wayne Keel in Petawawa. In 2019, in the middle of May, the Ottawa River was at the winter level, very low. Within a month, it was 5 to 6 feet flooding. How do you explain that?
Okay, thanks very much for your question, Wayne. I'm going to ask Sean Hines to weigh in.
So Wayne, I'm very familiar with the 2019 time frame during the 2019 flood, and I know the peak of that flood occurred around May 12th, if I remember that date quite well. I'm not quite sure your question. I can only surmise that your question is related to portions on the Ottawa River that appeared to be lower in elevation than other portions on the Ottawa River. During high flow conditions, which occurred in 2019, as you know, the Ottawa River saw historic flows. And generally with a river, high flows results in high elevations, particularly around restrictions in a river. And in 2019, you could look at a portion of the river upstream of a natural restriction, and you'd see significant flooding and significant water elevations. And then you would look at portions of the Ottawa River downstream of restrictions in various areas, particularly upstream of some of the dams, and you'd see significantly lower elevations of water. And it's interesting in the springtime when you see significant flows like that, particularly 2019, the elevations and the contours along the Ottawa River, that was as close as significantly close to what the natural river would have looked like had there been no dams on the river. So it's quite interesting in through during those spring floods where we get significant flows. The dams all lower head ponds and adjust the head ponds to ensure that they are completely removed from any impacts to water elevations. And particularly what happens during those high flow conditions, that river and the contour of the river and the elevations throughout that river, it's returned very closely to what that river naturally would have looked like during high flows with no dams in place whatsoever. So that might have been what you were referring to, where you saw high elevations at one parts of the river and lower in other parts. Hopefully that answers your question. Thanks for that.
Okay, thanks very much, Sean. And just a reminder, if you have a question for Sean Hines or Helia Soul, just press star 3 on your phone at any time to let us know you'd like to speak live on the call. An operator will take down your question and put you in line to ask your question live. And again, if you don't want everyone to hear your comments, you will have a chance to leave a message at the end of the event. Okay, I'm going to go to a question from Catherine, and I'm going to read it. And this one I'll throw to Sean Hines. And Catherine, Sean says, why does the water level have to be so high in the summertime? It seems to be contributing to dangerous erosion. Sean?
Thanks, Catherine. during the summertime, typically the gerring stations are at our summer elevations and summer operating limits. In the summertime, the flows have subsided quite significantly, and the stations tend to start to operate within quite tight operating limits with respect to headwater elevations and whatnot. So ideally, the erosion that you might see would be during spring conditions, particularly when there's high flows and whatnot. And throughout history, rivers are formed through erosion. The winding of rivers, and historically rivers, the natural contours that we see in the rivers today, they are made up and they are created through erosion over time. What we did see after 2019, of course, as you know, 2017 was a high flow year, as well as 2019. What we did see is quite a significant step change in that erosion based on those high flows. But as I said earlier, it would be unusual to see high elevations or high flows in the summer period, because during the summer period, the headwater elevations are very very tightly regulated within a couple feet here and there. I wonder if the erosion you might be seeing is erosion that's being noticed or becoming more evident following the spring increase in flows and elevations. So hopefully that response provides an answer to your question. But as I said, during summer operations, the rivers are fairly low flows and very stable elevations. Thank you for that.
Okay, thanks very much, Sean. We're going to go to Dennis. Dennis, you're in Arm Prayer. Please ask your question.
Thanks very much for taking my call. Thanks very much for the presentation. My general question, I think, was asked by Christine, I think maybe in Mattawa, but it generally was, what have we learned, what have we done to better handle the 2019? And I refer to, we travel across the Chenaux Dam from Ontario to Quebec, and when we were having very high levels down here towards Arm Prayer, I just was blown away by, I've never seen the water so low upriver of the Chenaux Dams. And I wondered, is there not something that could be done in the future so that we wouldn't have one end flooding and the other end at historic low levels?
Okay, thanks very much, Dennis. I'm going to throw that over to Helia, our technical officer, water management for OPG. Helia?
Sure, thanks for the question. I'll have to reiterate what Sean said earlier, that flooding, unfortunately, is a natural phenomenon that we have to deal with in some years. And across the Madawaska and Ottawa watersheds, the Flood Advisor Special 2019 report did find that dam operators did what they could to minimize flooding as much as possible. But our reservoirs have a finite capacity, and when we have years with unprecedented amounts of melt and unusually high amounts of rain, they will fill. And when they're full, we have to pass inflows, and when they're full, that's the end of our flood mitigation potential. So there is unfortunately not much else that can be done when we have unprecedented water volumes like we did in 2019.
Yeah, thanks very much, Helia. And just to follow on that, we often receive questions about the low water in the river upstream of the Swisha Generating Station, that's OPG station, during spring freshet. Sean, what's going on there?
So great question. Neil, could you remind me of the gentleman's name that asked that question?
That would have been... that's a very good question.
I think it's Edward. That question, we get that question often, and I like to take the opportunity to sort of highlight that. And I'll use our Swisha Generating Station as an example or as something to speak to. Our Shaw Falls Station is very similar. Our Shaw Falls Station, which is Shaw's Lake, I believe, but at the Swisha, basically at the Swisha, when we start to see river flows, and when the flow is coming down the Ottawa River into the Swisha, when they're around, the station flow at the Swisha is around 1,200 cubic meters per second. And when the flows at the Swisha start to reach close to 2,000 cubic meters per second, we start to... ensure that the headwater at the Swisha is lowered. And that headwater gets adjusted at that station as the flow gets to around 2,000 cubic meters per second. And the reason we do that, as I said earlier, during high spring conditions where we see significantly high river flows, all the generating stations, all dam operators adjust their headwaters to ensure that these stations have no impacts on flooding. In other words, during the 2019 flood, when we had significant river flows, that river was very close to what that river contours and elevations would have been had there been no dams along the river, particularly at the Swisha. So what we do at the Swisha is when we see the spring flows start to increase, we lower that head pond down to a operating elevation that does not create any flooding upstream of a restriction at the clock area upstream of De Riviere. And basically, we hold that elevation until that flow, we're quite confident that flow is going to drop below 2,000 cubic meters per second. And we're aware as the flow increases, once we get to 2,800 cubic meters, we know that there's going to be some flooding upstream and downstream of that station. And then if we get up towards 4,000 cubic meters per second, which is where the 2019 flows, we saw the 2019 flows, we get serious flooding along the river. And during those high flows, we have to hold that headwater elevation quite low, and to prevent upstream flooding into Mattawa. In those circumstances, if we raise that headwater, we know that we're going to increase the elevation at Mattawa by half a meter roughly. So we lower that head pond down to that area. And then people ask often, they'll look at that storage and they'll ask, well, there's storage there, and why don't you close that dam off and you know, give a reprieve for downstream flooding to slow down the river flow or even stop the river flow. Now, unfortunately, if we close that dam off, if we go from 4,000 cubic meters per second and drop it to, say, 1,000 cubic meters per second, that dam, that head pond, it fills within 16 hours. The flow in that river is so high that reservoir fills or that head pond fills in a matter of 16 hours. So, of course, once that reservoir fills, we have to start passing that 4,000 cubic meters per second 16 hours later. So what we would end up doing is we would momentarily drop the downstream levels for about 16 hours. And then after 16 hours, we increase elevation into Mattawa, which is new flooding heights, by half a meter, and then we just downstream we go back to where the elevation was when from the point we started. So hopefully that explains a little bit on how these dams are operated, because the Shaw's dam is operated very similar. At certain flows, headwater elevations are adjusted to ensure that we don't impact upstream flooding. So that's long-winded, Neil, and I'm sorry for that, folks, but hopefully that shed some light on that operation.
Yeah, thanks for that answer. That was a really in-depth answer, and I'd like to acknowledge that question earlier came from Dennis. I had that wrong, so Dennis, thank you very much for the question. Okay, we're going to take another call, but before I do, there's a number of you that are on the call. We're starting to run out of time. If you want to leave us a message, please do at the end, and we will get back to you because we'd like to hear your comments. So, Edward, I'm going to go to you. Edward, you're on the town hall. Please ask your question.
Hello. It's Ted or Edward. My question was about the snow load in the park. Which river will take the biggest brunt of it, the Madawaska or the Petawawa?
Okay, thanks very much, Edward or Ted. I'm going to throw that over to Halya.
The vast majority of Algonquin Park is drained by the Petawawa River. Just a small fraction of it is drained by the Madawaska. So to answer your question, it's the Petawawa River.
Okay, thank you very much. So why don't we try to get another question in here? And if we can, we still have a little bit of time. I think I might be going to Mark. Mark in Pembroke. Mark, you're on the air. Do you want to please ask your question?
Okay, my question was it has more to do with the. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you just fine. Mark, keep going.
Okay, I just want to make sure I wasn't on mute. Sorry. Again, maybe a chance for you to dispel a myth or whatever else. I'm in the Pembroke area, between the Swisha and downstream dam. We see huge changes through the summertime, 3-4 feet sometimes, a couple feet at a time, but sometimes in the fall, unannounced changes in water levels to the point where it damages boats and docks and so on. And I was told by residents of Renfrew that theirs is nice and steady, that they have an agreement with OPG on maintaining a certain balance of water level, whereas we do not here in Pembroke. Is that a fact or a myth?
Okay, I'm going to start with Halya, and appreciate the question, Mark, and then we may bring in Sean into this. Halya?
Yeah, hi there. We don't have a special agreement with any particular community. We have legal operating ranges at all of our stations, and we operate within those parameters. In the summertime on the Ottawa River, when the level at Pembroke reaches a certain trigger level, when we're having a particularly dry summer, for example, we will change our operations and operate according to certain low flow triggers where the water level will stay much more consistent through the day in short.
Sean, anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, Halya, not a whole lot to add, but of course the Ottawa River stations are all operated under very, very, very tight operating guidelines, particularly headwater elevation limits, as is the various of our stations across the province. Many of the stations are operated under water management plans, particularly the Ottawa River plants are not. They're operated under the planning board coordination. But again, as Halya pointed out, the stations are very tightly operated, particularly in the summer months, to ensure that elevations are respectable of recreational use as well as, you know, various other uses, particularly municipal water intakes and whatnot. So again, there's no specific agreements for any one particularly entity or landowner. Thanks for that.
Okay, thanks very much, Sean, and thanks very much, Halya. Our time is coming to a close here, so I just want to tell everybody that's on the line, please, please leave us a message, leave your question. We will get, you know, listen to it, and we will get back to you. So that opportunity will be there at the end of this event. You have an opportunity to leave a message, and we'd love to hear from you. So I want to thank everybody for participating this evening. Our time has gone by very quickly. Sean, what are your overall impressions based on what you've heard tonight during tonight's town hall meeting? There's been a lot of different callers. And we're thrilled to have them all aboard here tonight. So Sean, you got any thoughts on how the evening went?
Yes, thanks, Neil. First, I'd like to thank everyone for taking the time to participate this evening. It's been a lot of fun for all of us, and I hope everyone found it informative. We appreciate everyone's questions and the opportunity to have meaningful conversations with residents throughout the Ottawa River Basin. As mentioned earlier in the call, we didn't get to your question tonight. We will be following up with you over the coming days if you could reach out to us. We believe this town hall presents a good forum to provide you with information and education about our operations along the Ottawa River. Unfortunately, we can't do this all night. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to find out more about Ontario Power Generation and our operations, please visit opg.com/river for levels and flow information about Ontario Power Generation's operations on the Ottawa River system. For more general information about how OPG manages water and works with nature, please visit www.opg.com. Back to you, Neil.
Okay, thanks very much, Sean. And again, Sean's our director, Southeast Plant Operations for OPG. And I'd also like to thank Helia Petzold, our technical officer, water management in OPG Southeast region. And hopefully we were able to answer some questions this evening. And like I said, please leave a message at the end of the call, at the end of this event, and we'd love to hear from you, and we will get back to you. So as I said, just stay on the line. You can leave a message for the speakers and staff of Ontario Power Generation. If you want to learn more about us, I really encourage you to go to our website, www.opg.com. You can tweet us at OPG. You can email anytime at media@opg.com. Of course, you can call us as well at 1-877-592-4008 at any time with questions. And again, thank you for participating this evening. If any of your questions did not get answered tonight or ones that you think about after the call, please let us know. Thanks very much, and be safe, everyone.